Our Old Testament reading comes from Exodus chapter 16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And for the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 4. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel comes to us from John chapter 6. "On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lectionary makes a jump for a few weeks here. We read Mark chapter 6, which included the feeding of the 5,000. And then we jump to John's 6th chapter, which takes place after that feeding. But it includes a much more elaborate conversation. Just what has Jesus done in that miracle, and what was he hoping to have done? The crowds that follow Jesus are presented in a very shallow way. After Jesus fed them with that miraculous multiplication, John tells us they wanted to make him king by force. But Jesus pulls one of his disappearing acts. Just how he walks through these massive crowds is never really explained. But he heads to the mountain. And later, he walks across the water to rejoin the disciples. Other boats, in the meanwhile, have come seeking Jesus. Maybe they heard about what was going on and wanted to join in. But in any case, Jesus wasn't there anymore. And that crowd couldn't find him. So they get in those new boats and head back over to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. They find him, and their question is, "Why, when did you come here?" But I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't answer their question, which would simply have been last night, by a sign, if you could have seen it. Jesus answers a different question. "Why did you leave us? We were seeking you and you left us. Why did you leave?" Jesus answers that question. "Amen, amen. Truly, truly." The answer is heralded by John's version of Matthew's "look," or Mark's "immediately." Something important that we readers should understand is next. "You were seeking me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Why did I leave you? Because you weren't really interested in the really good stuff. You were only interested in your bellies. Look at what you've done. You've crossed the sea twice for a meal. Don't labor for food that perishes, but for the food that will endure to eternal life. The Father right now is in your midst and has sent you something beyond price. The Son of Man is giving it away free of charge, and God the Father has put his seal on him. And the crowds think they've caught his drift, but they haven't. Instead of a critique about the goal of their work, they take it as a critique of the work itself. Okay? If you didn't like us trying to make you king, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus' answer is simple. Believe. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. I'm assuming that Jesus always used this third-person, vaguish way of speaking so that it was clear to everyone who heard him that he was talking about himself, but also so that there was a hint of doubt to prevent his immediate arrest. In any case, those crowds understood because they ask him back, "What sign will you perform? Our fathers got the manna." And they're back to their bellies. It doesn't matter that just yesterday they all miraculously ate. Will you do it again? Their goal is not to find the food that does not perish, the food that sustains to life eternal. Their goal is just to get food for another evening. Our fathers ate manna for years. Maybe we can keep this gravy train going for a while. Signs? We don't really care about what signs may point to. We just want the fact of the loaves right now. 2,000 years later, and far from a semi-starving populace, so we don't have that excuse. That depiction of the crowds still rings true to me. Yes, the signs that we ask for today are not make actual bread appear, but it's always the economy, stupid. There's always some shiny object or glorious future that we will row there and back again to try and get. We will follow any leader who promises us those things, whether it's universal health care that costs less than you are paying now, or forcing Mexico to pay for constructing a border fence. And the day after we make them king, our bellies are empty again. And it's not just national politics. Everything today is a brand. Acquire my brand, and you'll be made complete. Wear Nike, and you'll be a driven winner. Drive BMW, and you will have experienced the ultimate experience. McDonald's will make you so happy, you'll be loving it. Join the LGBT Alliance and love wins. Although love doesn't appear to be quite enough, as the lawsuits are already multiplying. Commit yourself to fill in the blank cause, and you'll be made whole. And here's the thing. Some of those fill in the blank causes are great causes. Don't take this as a purely nihilistic screed, but what even the best of those causes do is aim for the world. They aim for temporal things. Yes, feed the poor. We should. but the poor you will have with you always. None of these things are meant to bear eternal food. And basing your identity, you, a child of God, meant for all eternity, basing your identity on temporal things is being as shallow as those crowds. Yet we do it all the time. What Jesus does is change our gaze. Those crowds want the manna that their fathers ate, and they attribute that manna to Moses. And Jesus tells them, no, it wasn't Moses. Truly, truly. Amen, amen. Look, listen. It wasn't Moses who gave to you, but my Father who gives you the bread from heaven. It's not some temporary one-time thing. God the Father is acting right now. The true bread comes down from heaven and is given freely. Don't look at the temporal things of this world, but look towards those eternal things. Look first to God. Believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Do you think that someone who wants to give you eternal things will skimp on the temporal? As Luther puts it in his explanation to the Creed, God has made me and all creatures and still preserves them. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. If you aim for earthly things first, they will perish. Don't work for things that perish, but for the food that will last. Raise your eyes. The Father wants to give you the true bread from heaven. And those crowds started to catch Jesus' meaning. Thinking that Jesus was a new Moses, they asked him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Thinking Jesus was the prophet, and hopefully an eternal prophet, unlike Moses, maybe this bread Jesus will provide will be always. But Jesus isn't the new Moses. He didn't come to implement a new law. Jesus didn't come to be just a prophet king. Jesus is the manna itself. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The Father sent down his own Son. And man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And God sent down the incarnate Word, the babe born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. Come down to give us food in this desert of a world for eternal life. There are lots of mirages in this desert of a world. There are lots of people and lots of things offering you identities and fulfillment. There are even those who would peddle the negation of all of that, saying that there's no meaning. Become enlightened and just give up your quest for life. But God sent us the true bread from heaven, his Son. And he gives himself freely. God has and does reveal himself to us daily. What must we do? Believe. Believe in the one he has sent. Believe that that cross has paid for everything. Believe that God claimed you in those waters. Believe that he gives us himself forever in bread and wine. But most of all, believe in his word. Jesus himself bore the seal of the Father. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, the true bread from heaven, given for you, that we might not wander aimlessly in this desert, but walk through it joyfully towards the promised land, not looking backward at what we leave, not desiring all those shiny things first, but looking forward to the full revelation of the saints in glory. No longer needing bread in the desert, but being part of the eternal feast. Amen. Close to number 96.